Welcome to the Lauren of Love podcast, where we believe that self-healing is a spiritual journey and your success on that path is inevitable. I'm an expert self-healing guide, a mentor for women who are on their life transformation journeys. I'm also a success coach and a deep advocate of plant medicine, which I talk about a lot on the show. But the Lauren of Love podcast isn't about me. It's about helping you move one step closer to your dream life and creating the reality you deserve. Whether you are healing chronic illness, childhood trauma, financial blocks, or you just want to love yourself more in this lifetime, you're in the right place. Join me every week as we talk about spiritual principles, conscious life creation, and success strategies to expand your mind, heal your heart, and bring you back home to yourself. Okay, here we go. Welcome back to another graduate story from the Wild Wealthy Feminine. I'm your host, Lauren Eliz Love. So happy to be here with you. You may be listening on the Lauren of Love podcast, or you may be listening inside of my free secret series called Soul-Led Legacy. Either way, I'm so happy to have you, and I'm really honored to share this conversation today and make a really big announcement. So in today's show, you're going to hear from one of my graduates inside of the Wild Wealthy Feminine program. Her name's Victoria, and she's an embodiment guide and a healer and a facilitator of some really powerful work called Kundalini Yoga. Inside of the conversation today, Victoria shares about her journey inside of the Wild Wealthy Feminine and how healing her relationship with desire transformed her business. Now, it was really cool because in this conversation, we also talked about the power of Kundalini practice and how that relates to the power of the Wild Wealthy Feminine program. So at the end of the episode, we actually made a decision off recording and decided that this round of the Wild Wealthy Feminine, Victoria is going to be a guest facilitator for incredible work, Kundalini Kriyas. I'm so excited. So in addition to the structure of the Wild Wealthy Feminine program, where you're getting those trainings every week, the meditation activations every week, and the journal workbooks and live calls for business strategy, every single step of the Wild Wealthy Feminine method, she will be contributing a deep dive Kundalini Kriya to move the energy through your body and out of your body. I'm really, really excited to feature her, and I'm even more excited to share this episode with you today. She's an incredible sister. She was also in my Conscious Creator Mastermind 2 years in a row, and she is powerful. So I'm really pumped that I get to share her medicine with you today. She's a mom. She talks about her journey of motherhood, leaving corporate life and switching into a more aligned flow in her business, ending a business partnership that no longer served her, and the lessons of Wild Wealthy Feminine and how that program impacted her business today. So without further ado, here's Victoria. The Wild Wealthy Feminine program is my favorite signature group coaching program that I run here in the Lauren of Love brand, because every single round I have the honor of working with so many amazing entrepreneurs. These are women who are just starting their business, women who have been trying to build a business for a while, women who have been building the business and are ready to go deeper into their expansion. So we have such a beautiful, diverse group of women inside of these containers, and the whole premise and focus of the Wild Wealthy Feminine program is to heal the things that are stopping you so that you can finally manifest what it is you desire. A lot of women inside of this program tell me, Lauren, I've taken all the strategy courses, I've done all the YouTube University, I've researched and tried to come up with a plan for my marketing, but every time they get stuck, overwhelmed, things don't work. They're trying, they're not getting traction. The Wild Wealthy Feminine program is the game changer, because really business is all about energetics. And if you haven't healed your relationship with worthiness, your relationship with feeling like you're a leader, your relationship with your confidence, your relationship with money, and of course your relationship with business, it can't grow. And so this is how we do the work from the inside out as feminine leaders. The Wild Wealthy Feminine method is a 6-week group coaching container. And it's not just live group coaching calls, it's also a method of study with journal workbooks, meditations, and trainings. So there's a lot inside of this experience, and I don't want you to miss out because doors are only open for a limited time. So if you're an entrepreneur ready to finally rewrite the narrative, to become that leader, to be powerful, to receive everything that you want, go to laurenoflove.com/wild and check out the details. laurenoflove.com/wild. All right, so we're just going to press record and see where this takes us. So excited. Okay, Victoria, let's start with a really simple question. To you, what does it mean to build your business in the feminine?
Oh gosh, that is not a simple question, Lauren. No, it is. It is in the sense that you're following your heart's desires. And I think I was ruminating on the Wild Wealthy Feminine before we got on the call and some of the big ahas I had over that experience. And my relationship with desire was one of the big ones that I didn't even know I needed to heal. Because I feel like as a heart-centered person, I'm always following my heart. But I realized that even if I was, there was still that little piece holding me back saying, oh, you shouldn't want this, or this is weird, or this is too much. And I think as a female following the feminine flow, you have to get rid of that little voice and you have to say that you were planted with this desire, with this dream, with this vision for a reason. And you're really doing yourself and the world a disservice by not following wherever it's going to take you, even if it doesn't make sense to the logical mind. Because a lot of the times it doesn't, and it's not supposed to. It's a bit of that magic, is what my Kundalini yoga instructor says. He says that we follow logic and magic. And logic is the masculine, but magic is like the magic feminine. And so I think about that a lot, that as a female entrepreneur following that flow, like you're following the magic.
Can we talk about your journey of following the magic? Like, can we have a conversation about how you had that desire to build a business? Where did that come from? Like, I don't think I even know like the beginning stages of your entrepreneur path. So yeah, let's speak on that a little bit.
So having my children, honestly, is what opened that portal within me. The portal of birth, gosh, birthing anything, right, is so transformative. But bringing a little human earth side really had me just questioning everything. I thought I was always going to be in the corporate world. I was, you know, wanted to get more titles, more money, all of that stuff. But even before having Sebastian, I was feeling really unfulfilled and was getting resentful and was spending all of my time outside of work, numbing myself, like smoking weed or, you know, partying too much or what have you. And this little human came into the world and it was like, okay, there's more. I want more for myself and for him and my family. And so 2 months postpartum, right before the pandemic hit, I joined this random Kundalini business container. And I say random because I didn't even know what I was signing up for, but I was following that feminine magic of this is right for you. This is what you need. And throughout the container and beginning to uncover myself using the tool of Kundalini, I really realized that I wanted to help people. And I didn't know what that could look like. And I had no idea, but I was like, that's what I was put on this earth to do, was to help people. And so little by little, just following kind of the intuitive nudges, a business partner and I started Spirit Mamas, just wanting to help other mamas who were in the same place we were, kind of questioning everything and having our intuition come online and realizing that there is something so much bigger than us that's really guiding us. And then we kind of started hosting women's circles, and it, I almost want to say I fell into it, but I didn't. I think I uncovered it. I think it was always there, and it was in taking away all the layers of the societal conditioning of the things that I thought I wanted and stripping myself bare and saying, is this actually what I want, or do I want something different? And I would have never said I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but it's funny. I think it was last year I went back home, and you know how your mom always keeps all your random letters and things from high school. And she was like, you need to throw all this shit out. So I went through it to see, and I had written that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. because I wanted to have the freedom to do what I wanted and to
Oh
change my
my
mind and to flow. And I was like, damn, like high school Victoria was really smart. Like, why
God.
didn't I listen to her? And you know, I still have a corporate job, but the goal is to eventually move away from that. And I think the beautiful thing that I learned in Wild Wealthy Feminine as well is that like your journey is your own, and it doesn't matter how fast or how slow it seems to anyone else but you. You're going to grow exponentially in your business when you heal the most. And so that's really what's in your control, is how much do you want to heal? What do you have a prayer for, an intention for in your life that you're ready to move through? Because then that's going to be mirrored in your business. And then you're going to be able to grow and expand and do the things like, you know, now I'm off on my own. My business partner and I decided to amicably split ways last year, but I was holding on to it so tight because I didn't want to be visible by myself. I was afraid that, okay, everyone likes us together, but what if no one likes me by myself? And it was bullshit, right? It's always bullshit, the stories that we tell ourselves. But it's been so freeing to learn my voice and my expression and just share from that place, because it is who I am. And everyone has that ability. No matter what type of business that you're in, people are attracted to your energy, not even what you're selling per se.
100%. And there's so much of what you just shared. I have goosebumps all over my body. I'm like, I want to talk about every piece of what you just said. The concept of understanding that your voice is unique and that everybody has one, the realizations that the things that we thought would make us happy aren't really what we're really meant to do, being able to be on your own and independent. And I think all of that, like what you're saying, all these examples of your own storyline are really encompassing in that one thing you said at the top, which was that the more you heal yourself, the more you're able to actually show up and create change in the world. So when you came into the Wild Wealthy Feminine program, what were some of the things that were happening for you in your relationship with entrepreneurship that made you feel like that was something you had to do?
So I think I had just joined your Conscious Creator Mastermind, and I think I had just started out on my own in June, I guess, and this was around September time. So it had been a couple months of like being out on my own and sharing, and then Wild Wealthy Feminine, I think, started in October, and I really just felt this call to deepen and to go there. And because I also knew what I love about your program is that, you know, we have lifetime access to this stuff. So I didn't feel like there was a time limit of like, okay, I have to get it all in now. It was like, I'm going to do what I feel called to. And I felt really called to all of the teachings that you had in the modules. And it coincided with some deeper Kundalini teacher training I was also doing. So I feel like I was in this vortex of learning almost so that I could begin integrating and then embodying. So I would say I was on kind of like a truth seeking mission at that point, right? To continue to uncover what these things mean for me and how I show up in the world. And I think it really blew me away that like even like the pre-work, I think was probably the most profound thing for me to show you that like you have to set yourself up for success. Like you have to actually prepare to do the things that you want to do, because I think a lot of the times I'm very fly by the seat of my pants. Like I'm like, oh, I want to go do this thing, so I'm going to go do it. And that has a time and a place. But I think in business, like building these foundations are the most important thing that you can do before you ever get out there to be selling to anybody or to do anything external facing.
Yeah, that pre-work week I really enjoy because it contains that study of recognizing that foundation is key, right? And I think there are a lot of people in the online space that are like rushing to achieve and rushing to scale. And what I love about you and our time together is that the eagerness that you have had has never been about an outcome. It's about the education that you crave. And like, I think that's what makes you such a great student and also such a great space holder, because you prioritize the desire to have that wisdom embodied versus like, oh, I just need to succeed, I just need to achieve. And like, I'm kind of wondering, like, as somebody who was in the belief that she'd be in corporate her whole life. Like, has that always been you? Because I feel like corporate kind of teaches us the other way around.
Exactly. No, I still have some of this that I'm unraveling. I'm thinking of, I'm a projector in human design, like I know you are, but my lines are a one and a four. And the one line is that knowledge and the want to be the expert. And I definitely am still unlearning that the gold stars mean success, right? That someone else outside of me can bestow upon me these things. Like, no, that's it's all internal validation. It's all internal. And so that has been a huge shift for me. And I think I realized how much discord it was causing in my own body to be looking outside of myself for that. Because I got really resentful in corporate. I remember, the previous job I had before this one, I swear I was like the needy little kid being like, pick me, give me a raise, like give me a new title.
Me too.
And I couldn't understand why they wouldn't give it to me. And it's because of that exact behavior. Like you're pushing it away by being so needy, by holding on to it so tightly. So that's, I mean, that's been huge for me to realize like I am the only one that can put my crown on and keep it on and know my worth. And I think that's something I'll always be working on. I know that I have a lot of stories of self-worth and abandonment and things, but I think it's important for anyone listening to know that just because you're still healing doesn't mean that you can't help others. Just because you're still experiencing these things doesn't make you a fraud that you are then sharing about it. I actually think it makes you more authentic to share from that place to say, I'm human, I'm going through it right beside you. And I truly believe that we have to walk through the medicine that we're bringing to others, that you have to have experienced the things that we're teaching or sharing or holding space for, because how else would we ever know, how it feels to be in our clients' shoes?
100%. Yeah, I think that ability to see our credibility through the eyes of vulnerability, right? It's like, okay, how we validate ourselves is by saying, yeah, I've been through this and I understand this and I'm walking this path. And it makes us feel, I think for some people, it makes them feel like they're not as skilled or they're not as much of an expert as they should be because they navigate the same challenges as their clients. But I think it's an important, I agree with you. That's a big premise of Wild Wealthy Feminine. Like when we go into the study of leadership in one of those weeks of the modules, like learning how to actually feel like you're credible and you're confident and you're embodied. So I love that you're speaking to that. I think it's so important. And I think what's coming up for me in this moment around that topic is just asking you, like, leadership and leading your business from a feminine perspective, being able to be somebody who goes back and like looks at those shadows and pieces of you, right? What are some of the things that you felt came up besides desire, right? Like recognizing the blocks around desire. Were there other things that you had felt had stopped you from being in your fullest power that you worked through in the program?
I mean, I definitely think the leadership and visibility, I'll never forget what we talked about, I think, on the discovery call, where you were like, how would you feel if you had 1 million Instagram followers tomorrow? And I was like, ooh, my whole body is contracting. Like we say we want these things, right? And we do, right? In a future version of ourselves, in our highest power, in our highest potential, we do want these things. But there are parts of us that are not in alignment with that, and we have to look them in the face and walk through them, or move through them, or get them out of the body, or find whatever it is that is the root cause of that feeling. And I think a lot of us as women in society have these stories, right, of being told that we were too much, or that we should sit down. Or I tell the story all the time about a little girl on the playground in elementary school that told me I thought I was all that. And I carried that story for a really long time until I finally was like, yeah, I am fucking all that. Like, who cares? I hope that you think you're all that too, you know? And so I think that is something that came up. And I really also, the spirituality section was also just very subtle, but very profound for me, because as I lean more into my spirituality and me as a spiritual person, like that can always deepen, right? But there's so much from society conditioning around even just the words that we use, right? When it comes to that. And just hearing you talk about it, I swear every lecture was like its own activation, like bringing up different things inside of me to look at and say, like, do I believe that? Do I still carry codes of that? Am I awakening something new within me? Like, I truly believe there is always something birthing and dying inside each of us. And I think I didn't realize how many small deaths I would have over the Wild Wealthy Feminine experience, but in a really beautiful way, because then it gave me the chance to rebirth on a stronger foundation.
I love that. So with that, where are you now in relationship to your business? What's been moving through?
I'm so freaking excited. Like it's fun. I think after Wild Wealthy Feminine, I've come back to play in my business. I went really far into the masculine side of like the numbers and making this quote unquote successful because, when I started off, we did have some success early on and we're making good money. And I got way too wrapped up in, okay, well, we're going to do a program because it's going to bring in X amount of dollars versus I'm going to do a program because it feels good in my body and in my heart and what my community wants. And so I think I'm coming back into balance around that I'm creating things, yes, because I want to, but also because I'm hearing from my community that it's things that are resonating with them. I'm not creating in a vacuum. As Lauren knows, but your listeners probably don't know, I'm very intuitive and I am in a season of downloads where it feels like every other week I have a new idea for a new program and a new thing. And I'm learning to play with it and sit with it. And I think the old Victoria would have a download for a program and then be like, it's got to launch tomorrow. Like, I've got to get it out there. Afraid, maybe, right? That like this intuition would leave or someone else would have the same idea or whatever. But I think that beautiful time for incubation and play makes it sustainable and makes it so that you actually want to stay in business like 10 years from now.
100%. And I think we were just talking about this on the Conscious Creator Mastermind yesterday about slowing down and like giving ourselves that permission, because I think what ends up happening for a lot of entrepreneurs is that our nervous systems get so dysregulated by that immediate action and the hustle and like working and working and working to get something off the ground. But if we allow things to sit and nourish and nurture, they grow in like a really rooted way. I'm often thinking about the in-person ceremony work that I do and how when I started that, it was like 5 people and now it's like 20, and that was because it was slow. I been over the last couple of years, and like I think that there's a lot of power to that. So yeah, I love that you're saying that. Thank you. Can we shift gears, because I have some questions actually that I'm just for my own curiosity. Can we talk about Kundalini? Because this has been the premise of like your soul's mission. It's been rooted in almost everything you do, and I did one Kundalini session once and I was like, I don't know, this is a
I
little weird.
hated it at first, so I get
Yeah.
it.
So tell me, can you get our community up to speed with like Kundalini magic? What is this? Magic.
Yes, magic. Kundalini is the yoga of awareness. And so everything that you're doing is bringing things from the subconscious mind forward. So maybe you're clearing old wounds or stories, or you're clearing emotions out of the physical body. In Kundalini, we do things called kriyas, and they are a complete action or a complete thought. So you'll go into a class and it'll be for a specific purpose, like healthy glands and organs is one I just taught. But it's more than just healthy glands and organs. It's moving all of the emotions and the energy out of your physical body. Or I love to teach one that is around overcoming perceived limitations. And it's a mix of movement and mudra or hand motions and your breath. And it's a lot of repetitive motions, but it is working on such a subconscious level because it's working with all of the meridians of the body and all of the, subtle, energetic, spiritual, mental, physical, all of the bodies that we have within us. And it has been one of the most profound tools for me. And I have transformed and healed and moved through things so much faster with this as a tool to lean on. And said I was never going to become a teacher. I was like, oh, I just enjoy it. Like, I don't want to become a teacher. And before I knew it, I was using them with my clients because they were so powerful that in 15 minutes, you can move so much energy and have these big aha moments. And then it was like, okay, to be in integrity, like I need to actually become a Kundalini teacher. And it has a, you know, it has its stories, if you will, right? Of course, if you Google, a lot of stuff comes up. But I think that for me, it is exactly what I needed to be able to move through the many emotions and traumas and issues and things that I had growing up. And I didn't even have like a traumatic childhood. I had like a pretty normal childhood with divorced parents, but we all have our things, right? And this is one of my favorite tools of healing and empowerment. That and the Akashic Records, those are my two go-tos when it comes to any type of energetic healing work.
Yeah, I'm thinking about as you're talking, it makes a lot of sense that Kundalini yoga would be so powerful because it's movement, breath, and spiritual connection, right? It's those three things at once. And I feel like even, I look at my programs and what I've designed, and they're those three modalities, right? Emotional, body, spiritual. And so it's just really cool to see that like these modalities that are available to us, they when we work on those three planes, because I believe emotion is breath. I have such a like when you're stressed and you take that big deep breath, right? Like there's such correlation to our emotions and our breathing patterns. So it's really cool. Like, I don't know, it's potent. It's amazing. So like I've seen it. Mine was like the hands were moving. You had to do like left, right, up, down, like the
It's
and like
not
that.
relaxing at
I
all.
know.
Like, I
It's
made my
not
husband do
relaxing.
it with me once, and he was like, "This is fucking terrible." He's like, "I thought you were meditating quietly." And I was like, "No, you're like moving your arms and like the mantra." It's funny, the kids now like are used to it. And so I'll just be doing a Kundalini Kriya while like they're playing or whatever, and my husband will just walk by and be like, "Yeah, Seven, yeah." And I'm like, "Shut up."
Well, you
But
know
it's
what?
become like part of my every day.
It's funny because my study of like personal transformation was rooted in Tony Robbins. That was the first person I ever started reading. Some people, it's like, you are a badass, right? That's like the first book they read, right? Me, it was this like big Bible, Tony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within, which was like giant. It was literally like 400 pages. But when I went to his events, he did this exercise where you would sit and you'd have your eyes closed and you would put your hands up like parallel and you would go and you would breathe in
Yep,
and
that's
out, in
Tummo
and
breath,
in and out.
basically. That's so
Yeah. And
funny.
yeah, so we would do that and you'd do it for an extended period of time and then you would stop and you would put your hand on your heart and then you would do it again. And when he was doing that, he was also guiding us through like what we were focused on and our intentions. And so that's a practice that I've been using. I use it with my clients. I have meditative ceremonies where we do that. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's Kundalini. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't even realize some of these people
No,
are still teaching it.
and it's weaved into a lot. Like I learned in my teacher training that a lot of the times, like the warm-ups that you'll do in just a hatha or vinyasa yoga class are rooted in Kundalini, and it is one of the oldest yogic technologies. And it's really cool because once you learn what the motions are doing for the body, then you realize almost everything can be Kundalini. And that I actually think of any hard moments in my day, it's like, oh, I'm just doing a kriya right now. Because that's what it's doing. It's preparing you for the pressure, tension, stress, and friction that you face off the mat. And it's showing you that you can overcome these things, that you can move through them. And so once you do it on the mat, and you're supposed to do the same kriya or movement for 40 days. And I love that because it's really showing you who you are, because the kriya stays the same, but you come to it every day different based on your emotions, based on what's going on around you. And then it gets a lot harder to say, oh, I don't feel like working on the business today because it's rainy outside. You know, it's like, is it really because it's raining outside, or it's because you're moving through something and you don't want to do it? So it's uncomfortable. I'll be honest with people, like it's really fucking uncomfortable, but it has such a higher purpose that you use it in so many ways off the mat.
It's reminding me kind of a conversation I had yesterday. I was talking to somebody who was exploring plant medicine, but their language and their terminology was like, they were saying things like drugs or getting high. And I was like, that's interesting. Like you have that approach because that language you're using, there's a looped connection to this, I promise. I was like, you know, that's interesting. And I said, the plants have really taught me, like, when you're praying to sage or you're praying to ayahuasca or you're praying to mushroom, you're doing this one thing with this one little thing, but then you realize that the sacredness in which you apply to a dried plant can be the same energy that you're using in your life and how you see the sacredness of your relationship or your business or your home. And so I think what you're saying, it's like really lighting me up. It's making me feel like the discipline and the devotion of a 40-day practice creates that relationship with consistency so that now you become a consistent being because how you show up one way is how you show up everywhere.
I got full body chills. Yes,
It's so
yes,
good.
yes.
Okay, wait. So more questions. This is like, now this isn't a podcast. This is just me like, tell me more. I want to know. It's so good. So like when you work with people, because you're working with the Akashic Records as well, which is a whole other conversation that we have to open up.
Don't know why I picked like the two most like intangible things to work with, but it's like no one knows what these things are, but they're
Dude,
fucking amazing.
I listen, the Akashic Records is so powerful. I had a reading once with this girl. This is a crazy story. So I was in Sedona. It was like the first entry level thing that I had ever done. And I was there for a year. So this was just the start. And I found this Akashic Records reader and she became a dear friend, Mia. She's wonderful. Akashic Angel is her name. And she did a reading on me and she was like, you're from Lemuria. Right, you definitely like have been here before. Sedona once was Lemuria. It's under it was underground. It was this whole big thing, and I'm like, okay, like this is thank you. Like I'm Italian, but okay, like I had no like understanding of what this meant. Now I do. Now I'm so up to speed, and I'm like in it. But then she was like, yeah, I see sunflowers everywhere, and you're going to be facilitating medicine ceremonies. And at the time, I had sat with ayahuasca, like. Once I did like a 4-day thing retreat. So that felt really crazy to me. And then years go, two years go by, and then I'm facilitating this plant medicine ceremony for the first time. And I look at the altar and they're all sunflowers. The whole altar was sunflowers. And I had this moment. I was like, holy shit. And it was in Sedona. And I was like, oh my God, like what is happening? It's crazy. So let's talk about the Akashic Records, please. And like, ex let's, yes, explain it for our audience because I need to remind myself that we're in a podcast interview right now. But also, like, when you work with people, how do you combine these two things? Do you keep them separate? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so I definitely combine them. And I love that opening the records really just allows for more connection and more intuition, specifically for the client. So, to back up for a second, the Akashic Records, for those that don't know, is just an energetic frequency that absolutely anyone can access. So, I am not special because I can access them. I teach women how to open their own records all the time and think everyone actually should know how because they contain everything that has happened, can happen, will happen. And people talk about them a lot like a library in the sky, so that each person has a specific book or record. I think that's a little too fixed because the records themselves are mutable and they change based on your decisions, your energy work, all of that kind of stuff, because we have free will as humans. So I think of the records more like a note, and you are tuning your guitar string to your specific perfect frequency every time you're opening the record. So it's giving you the guidance that you need in the moment. So we could have a session right here, right now. You could ask me questions and I would channel whatever wants to come through. We could meet again tomorrow and you could ask me the exact same questions and you could get completely different answers based on what you need to know in the moment. And so that's what's most empowering to me is that it's going to give you the guidance that you need. So you may come in and be like, I have all these questions about all this other stuff. And the records are like, no, we're going to focus on this. And so I love that in that reading, the records knew that you needed to have that information, you know, because I had the same thing happen. The very first time I had my records read, she told me I was going to lead women's circles. And I was so far from that that I was like, okay, like, whatever. But it, of course, came true. And so, in a session with someone, I open your records so that the guidance that you need comes through in the moment. But that could look like us going into a Kundalini meditation. It could look like us doing some energy healing work together. Any session with me, I am really just the channel and the guide for you to do the work for yourself so that you have the tools to heal yourself again and again. Like, I want to get to a point where you don't even need me. Like, you know how to open your own records. You know what Kundalini Kriya is to do, you know, whatever it may be, because that's the most empowering way that I have healed is doing it on my own. Because then those traumas and those things that have resided within me don't come back, or they don't come back in that form, right? Of course, there's different layers to our healing, and things come back multiple times because we need them, but they are less likely to do so when you're doing the work yourself versus someone coming in to maybe give you Reiki or do something else, you know. And I love Reiki and I use Reiki, but I think you have to be the one to move the energy.
Yeah, so it's like let's just say as an example, like I'm for some reason I'm like the let's just say I'm like over here building my business and I can't create the abundance I want. And then I come to you go, I feel like I'm financially blocked. What's going on? And then you open my records and you see what
Like, there could be a past life that
past
is
life.
keeping you. I've had that. Like, I in a past life closed off that abundance channel because I wasn't able to provide for my family with my spiritual gifts. And I saw my children die before me. And so I said, never again. I will never again use my spiritual gifts to provide. And I cut that off. And so I've been working through that in this lifetime of creating the safety in my body to say, it is safe to do that. My kids are not going to die because I am using my spiritual gifts. And so, if that's relevant for you to know and that that's where it's coming from, it will totally come through. It may not be as clear as that, right? It could just be that you feel maybe a specific energy in your womb space and you don't have it tied to a specific memory, but you can feel that there's something there. And so we will move that energy together because, like you and I have talked about before, money blocks aren't really money blocks. They're
Nope.
just symptoms of
Nope.
something else. And so I find in my sessions with clients a lot that what they think is the problem really isn't. It's something deeper, or they're experiencing symptoms of something that goes further than what they ever thought.
Yeah, and like both of those examples have me thinking about the study of safety in the Wild Wealthy Feminine program, right? Because it's like whether it was a past life that you can identify or not, and it's stored somewhere in your body, both of those things to be able to course correct is about the development of safety, right? Feeling that security to say, oh, I can have this. So, yeah, so I'm thinking like if someone, if you comes to you and sees those symptoms, then the kriyas that you're designing for them or guiding them through are to create that regulation or to clear that energy or move that energy out of the body so that they're in that place of safety.
Exactly. So that they're coming back to that state more regularly. And I will say, when you start a kriya, perhaps it may feel the exact opposite. It may feel very dysregulating because you're moving through that energy, but you are never re-traumatizing yourself. I think that's really important for people to know because sometimes they are really uncomfortable, but you're never re-traumatizing yourself. Like, we're re-traumatizing your psyche. You are releasing that trauma from the body. And there is a very subtle difference, but it's an important difference. I think in trauma work and something I learned as part of my like somatic and breathwork training, because that has to be released for you to be able to feel safe and okay. And once again, it ripples off the mat. So you create the regulation in your nervous system. You create the regulation in yourself, and then that's going to ripple out. You know, I have a lot of clients, I do a lot of mother wound healing and mother wound work. And, you know, people think that that's, oh, that you had a bad relationship with your mom, but it's so much more than that. Like, you may be perpetuating cycles of scarcity and of lack because of the energy that your mother or your grandmother experienced in their lifetime. And so sometimes it's not even you. It's your intergenerational, your ancestral trauma that's coming through, but you are the one that is meant to release it and cultivate it. And it really does affect seven generations forward and seven generations back. I have seen the changes in my mother and in my grandmother in the work that I do. And that's not to take credit for, anything that they're doing, but to say that it has an effect, whether you think it does or not. Like, my mom is actually coming on a retreat I'm hosting because she wants to heal. Like, my grandmother asked me to read her oracle cards the last time I saw her. Like, and she's like a woman that is like so far from her realm, that there is real change, and effects that happen from you doing this work.
Yes. Yeah, and I love that you're speaking to this concept of healing the matriarchal line of our lineages, because I feel like, even just the work that I've been doing in my design of coursework, there's such a common through line of like, yes, we're healing our not enoughness for our fathers, and we're healing the shadows around patriarchal conditioning. But there's a big important piece of this, which is rewriting the feminine line, whether that is your relationship with your voice, or your relationship with your womb, or your relationship with creativity or desire, pleasure, expression, right? Like, all of those things are like the returning home of a clear feminine empowerment. And so, yeah, I love that. I love this conversation. I love the work you're doing in the world. I want to hold space, Victoria, for you to share like where people can find you to like go next steps, because I'm even here. I'm like, I want a session. Like, let's do this. Like, this is juicy. So can you, yeah, just share a little bit, if you may, where people can find you before we sign off today in our conversation.
Yeah, so victoriamargo.com, MARGAUX, and I'm Victoria Margo Nielsen on Instagram are the two best places. I offer one-on-one Akashic Record sessions, and I also do deeper, longer containers for women that are 4 months. If you really want to get into specific Kundalini Kriyas and somatic practices and things like that, I also have an online Kundalini breathwork and yoga membership. If that is something that you are looking to just learn more about, they're short, impactful, less than 30 minutes, so that you can do them and get on with your day. I'm hosting a retreat here in April, and I just love meeting new people. So come say hi on Instagram, come hang out. And I think, Lauren, I'm going to give you a special code for listeners. So if anyone wants to do a one-on-one Akashic Record session with me, look in the show notes for the special 10% off code that I'm going to give Lauren.
Amazing. Thank you, Victoria. I love that. Yeah. And any final last words for the spiritual woman out there who's building a business, wants to embrace the wild, wealthy, feminine approach, whether or not she's coming into the program? I mean, like, what advice do you have as a graduate? Any final words? What can you offer?
That dream was planted in your heart for a reason. And following that dream may not make sense to anybody else, but you are doing the world a disservice by not sharing your light, by not sharing your medicine, by not sharing your magic, because there is someone out there, probably more than one person, who needs you, who is waiting for you to wake up to your power, for you to step into your truth, for you to share your voice, so that they can be inspired to do the same. So be the lighthouse. Join the program. You're already in great company if you're listening to Lauren's podcast. So, welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to the club. You get to hang out with Victoria and all the other magical souls inside. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. And to everybody listening, go check her out. We're going to put all the details to Victoria's work in the show notes. And we hope to see you inside, whether it's there or in the wild, wealthy feminine. Thanks, Mama.